When everyone gets seated and I have everyone's, many of the men, undivided attention, I messed up. It's not the 18th for men's breakfast, it's this Saturday, the 11th. So this Saturday, 7 o'clock in the gym. All right? This Saturday. So is it the 18th? No. Is it the 11th? Yes. All right? I can treat you guys like my Wolfpack football group and say, what did I just say?
11th, coach!
No, don't do that. All right, so we're here in Romans. We'll go ahead and pick it up. In Romans chapter 8. I'm guessing we'll get through Romans 8 today. So as you turn to Romans 8, we see that in the last few weeks we talked about there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We see that you can walk in the Spirit or you can walk in the flesh. And then moving forward, we talked about they're not in the flesh. You guys got to move forward in your life with, in Christ. They're not debtors to live the flesh anymore, but they're debtors to the Spirit to go forward. And we talked about last week how they're going through suffering. So verse 18, Romans 8, 18, for I consider that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us. If you pop over to verse 36, we see that for your sake you are killed all the day long. You are counted as sheep for the slaughter. And again, Paul is now moving forward with, this is what you have in your position. You're not condemned. You're born again. And you're positionally in Christ. That's not going to go away. Now, moving forward, you can walk in the Spirit. You can walk in the flesh. We know in Romans 6, whatever you yield your members to, that's the servant that you are. Okay? Now he's saying, okay, you guys are going through a tough time. And from this point on, he's going to start pointing forward to the future. Okay? To what they have future. Actually, I'll get this little dry erase board and maybe something will come up. I don't know. So, we're going to start looking forward to the future. Last week we had talked about that the adoption there, we'll go over it again, that the adoption isn't being in God's family. You're a child. Adoption means, well, we'll read it so you guys can see it. Another way of saying, I forgot what it says. Verse 23. Not only that, but we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan within ourselves while eagerly awaiting for adoption. And what is the adoption? The redemption of our bodies. So our glorified body is our adoption. Something that the believers here in Rome at this time are waiting forward to get. Okay? So they're not adopted yet. Adoption, you have to be a son or a daughter, you have to be a child to get the adoption, right? There's a glorified body, your redemptive body. It's not someone who is not a part of the family being brought into the family. That's, we Americanize that. Okay, don't do that. You're already a part of the family, and now you're waiting for the adoption, which is your glorified body. Does that make sense? Okay, something they're looking forward to. They're already in God's family, and now they're going to get something in the future. That's what they're looking forward to. Okay? So they're going through a tough time. They're being persecuted. He's letting them know, hey, I get it. We groan. Let's look down at verse number 24. For we are saved through hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does a man still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Again, future, right? So Paul is helping the believers at that time with what they're going through to look forward to something greater, to look forward to something better, right? Again, when people are going through life and death, okay, life and death, usually the author points to them in Christ and their future heaven. Where they're going to go for their comfort. Okay, we don't see a whole lot of praying that they don't die. It's hey, when you get caught, you die. don't worry, you're going somewhere better. Does that make sense? Okay, you're going somewhere better. All right, now to our text where we left off. Verse 26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. So we're assuming that these believers here are weak, right? They're going through a tough time. And the encouragement is the Spirit's going to help you. So he just got done saying, don't do things in the flesh. And a lot of times, that is doing what I can do to save myself without God. That's the flesh, right? I'm going to make it better. I'm going to do a good. I'm going to help us out. Well, let's stop and let's pray about it, right? Let's see if that's even what God wants us to do. It might be good morally. It might be good ethically. It might be good, but is that what God has best for us? So the flesh isn't just bad things that are sinful that we look at. It's also bad if I'm trying to do it in my own power, right? Without God's approval or without waiting to see that's what he wants. So the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. So they're going through a tough time. They're going to God's throne of grace to find mercy and grace in time of need. And man, they're just so, they're hurting. They're troubled. And the Holy Spirit knows exactly what to do on our behalf, right? We don't even know what to say. Have you ever been there before? Have you ever been there? Man, I remember one time specifically, the first time that actually was real to me. I remember we were getting ready to start our third church in a little town above us called Ritzville. We were looking, I was canvassing the area to figure out where to go, talking to the locals there about different churches, and you know, if they go to a church, blah, blah, blah. And we're on our way back down, heading back south on 395 to go back to Connell, where we started our first church, and we're on our way back there. And I get a phone call saying that my mentor, my pastor, who had invested all of his life into me, had passed away. I was a horrible student. Because my first thought wasn't, praise the Lord, he's in heaven. How dare he leave me? Now who am I going to go to? Now what am I going to do? That's my first style of selfish, right? As a young preacher, I'm, you know, my wife's driving. We're going back down to Connell to our church down there, and I'm bawling my eyes out going, now what am I going to do? Now who am I going to go to find help? And God's like, hey, that's going to be me. You're going to be okay. You should be teaching people this. I shouldn't be teaching you this. I didn't know what to say. I don't know what to do. But in that moment, that half-hour drive back down south to our church, that whole drive, I felt the comfort of the Lord because I was groaning in my spirit. Nothing even close to running for my life, like here in Romans. Just someone who I looked up to, who helped me, was now gone when I panicked. I didn't know what to say to God. I didn't know what to do. But even in his grace, something as selfish as what I was going through, he said, hey, I got you. You're going to be okay. This verse became really real to me practically in that moment. Verse 27, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And that's what he does on our behalf. Verse 28, they're going through a tough time. They're being hunted down and killed. Things aren't going well. And then the author has the audacity to say this to them. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Now he's about to explain to them how this can be true. Right? How this can be true. We know. Here is a fact. Now, here's some things that you have to know. That word know is a major theme in the book of Romans. I need to know that I am crucified with Christ. I need to know that. I need to know that since Christ is in me, I now have the power of Christ to live victoriously. Okay? And I need to know that I can yield my members to righteousness. I need to know that. That's the theme in Romans 6. You have to know this. You have to know it. So, these same believers here, two chapters prior, have to have their hearts focused. Our hearts here, not here. Here. What I'm focused on. What I'm fixed to. What's leading me. What's driving me. That's my heart. I need to know some things firmly to move forward. Right? I need to have some foundational truths. We see people that are carried away by every wind of doctrine because they're not falling back on, well, here's what I know. I'm starting here. Okay? It's like having athletic, you know, football or baseball cleats in the ground. Here's what I know. Now from this position, I can now move forward. You need to have some foundational truths. Number one, that Jesus Christ is God. He died and rose again. That's a foundational truth. There is no name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen? Right, absolutely. So from there, I know I can move forward. From there. We see here that here's some things that we know. We know that all things will work together for good.
Amen.
So from that, when life presents, I'll go easy because we're not going life and death yet, like the Romans were going through, the believers here at Rome. But when life presents a tough circumstance, I can stop and say, well, here's what I know. This might not be authored from God. And if sin is happening to you, I guarantee you God's not authoring it. God doesn't author people to sin towards you. God doesn't author people to do sinful things to you. He doesn't author that. Now, does he allow Satan to do that? Does he allow sin to happen to his children? Absolutely. We're actually warned, hey, in Philippians, we're not only to believe on him, but to suffer for his sake. Jesus told in the Old Testament to his apostles, he says, listen, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. Like, don't let it shock you guys. Alright? They're prepped for this, right? So when life presents us a tough circumstance, we can stop and say, hey, listen, here's what I know. Believers in America need to start moving away from, well, I don't know why God's doing this. I don't know what's happening. I don't know. No, you need to know something. You need to know it. Here's what I know. That this tough life circumstance can be used for God's good. It can be used for that. Now, what I have to do is go back to Romans 6, two chapters prior, and say, I am now going to yield my members, my mind, and not think to myself, what about this? What about that? Well, if this happened, that happened, what about this? What am I going to do? Your mind is a member, right? Now, it's not in this book, but I'm going to go out of this book and say, hey, we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. If it's not godly, if it's not pure, if it's not a good report, and a good different book in Philippians, I'm not going to allow my mind, my member, to entertain those thoughts. If I start having, as a born-again believer, a negative, sinful thought about a brother or sister in Christ, that is not of God, friend. They may have hurt you. They may have hurt you. Another child of God, walking in the flesh, not by God's authority, can be used by three enemies, wolf, flesh, and devil, to hurt you. Right? And he might use another believer to hurt you. Look beyond what that believer is sinning towards you and say, hey, I'm not going to have anything bad towards them. I know that, number one, this can be used for good. Right? I got to start there. I need a Bible verse. This can work for good. I'm not going to allow myself to give into bitterness or resentment to that person because they might not even know what they're doing. They might not see that they're being used by Satan to cause division, to cause disunity in God's body. Now, I'm thinking outside these four walls, right? They might not know that. So, how can I show them what a mature believer looks like? Not get mad, not have bad thoughts towards them. I know that through this person that's doing this to me or saying this about me, or whatever the case may be, can be used for God's good. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, how about a circumstance? Something happening to me, you know, maybe not through someone, but just, you know, through work or through different things not going my way, okay? I can stop and say, hey, listen, I know that this can be used for good. Now, this isn't saying this, but I'm going to Jesse interpret this, okay? I'm going to allow this circumstance, I'm going to allow this, I'm going to put myself in a position to show how good God is. I'm putting myself in a position to show what a mature believer looks like, not an immature one. Not to talk and communicate wrong, not to have wrong thoughts, not to do wrong things, not to panic. No, I know this is going to work for my good, and I'm looking forward to what good's going to come from this. Because if it's not true, then God's a liar. Then God's a liar. So either I am misunderstanding what's happening to me because I'm doing it out of flesh, which I was just told to not do. I mean, maybe not me, but the people at Rome, right? Book of Romans. They were just told, don't do this in the flesh. And what's happening to you can be used for God's good. Right? Think about that for a second. We're going to stay calm. When this comes my way, these thoughts, these circumstances, this news that I get over the phone, this whatever happens to me from the doctor's office, I mean, you fill in the blank however God's speaking to you. I know that this can be used for God's good. That's one thing I know. Because if not, then God's a liar. And I know for a fact it's impossible for God to lie. So what good can come from this? God does not want to see his child hurting. He doesn't want to see that. Now, does he know it's going to happen? Yes. He knows the three enemies, world, flesh, and devil. He himself experienced that as a man being tempted by Christ. Or being tempted by Christ. By Satan. He was tempted like we were, yet without sin. Isaiah said, he bore our griefs and our sorrows. There's nothing that you're going through that he doesn't understand or know. That's why he says, now that I'm in you, you can boldly come to my throne, and you can find mercy and grace in time of need. Why? So you can help understand and see how this can work for good. Now, the author's going to set their minds looking forward. Everything at this point is looking future, looking forward, looking ahead, right? That's where he's been sending them. Let's see what he does here. How do I know that, Paul? How do I know that that all things look together for good? Well, for those he foreknew, he predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, so that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. And those he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he glorified. That is from, these are all past tense. These have all already happened. Now, are you under glorified body? No.
I hope not.
No. Yeah, right? Yeah. So what Paul is doing, they're back here. And what he is doing, it's all in the past tense. And he's sending them up here. You have this package deal already done for you. So God, from God's perspective, God's here. looking back to when they were known by God. Okay? So here's God's perspective. There was a time when these believers were not known by God, right? Let's go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Verse number 8. Galatians 4:8. Previously, when you did not know God, you served those who by nature are not gods. But now, after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how do you turn again to the weak and beggarly element forces to which you desire again to be in bondage? So the point here is there was a time these people were not known by God. When did God know them? When they accepted Christ as their Savior. That's when they're known by God. Before that, they're not known by God. So God's here looking back to when he knew them, when they trusted Christ as their Savior, they're in Rome. That's when he knew them. Make sense? Okay? Let's go to Romans chapter 11 to get some little bit better context on this. Romans 11. Romans 11. Look at verse 1. Romans 11, when I say then, has God rejected his people? God forbid, talking about the nation of Israel. For I also am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people, whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says of Elijah? So what he's telling these, the Jewish believers here with the nation of Israel is there was a time that God knew them when they were the nation of Israel. Right? And he's going to quote Elijah here. So God in the present time there in Romans chapter 11, he has not rejected the nation of Israel whom he foreknew in the land of Canaan. That's when he knew them. He hasn't rejected them. Okay? They're going to go back to the nation of Israel in the tribulation period, right? So that's when God foreknew them. Where God's at now, going back to when he knew them in the land of Israel. Okay? And the context is going to help. He's going to quote Elijah. Okay? He's going to quote Elijah. That's going to help with the context of when God foreknew them. Okay? Back to Romans chapter 8. So we're setting the stage again, keeping things going forward. This is the guaranteed future of the believer, right? The guaranteed future of the believer here. I know that right now, everything can work for my good because those who he foreknew, he predestined to what? Be conformed to the image of his son. Technically, that hasn't happened yet. We're striving for that. That's going to be a moment in time when we will be conformed to his image, when we get our glorified bodies. Praise the Lord. Verse 30, and those whom he predestined, he also called. And those he called, everyone has a calling, a service. He justified, and those he justified, he glorified. Okay? So this is all happening past tense. He's letting the believers know, listen, it's already happened in the future. That's how I know right now all things can work together for good, because everything that's going to happen to me right now, it's already been done and fulfilled, and I'm already over here positionally, right? Ephesians says the same thing. Ephesians says, we're already seated in heaven. Well, are you practically? No, we're here, right? This is heaven. God help us. No, but the Bible says we're already seated there in our position. Okay? So I know that no matter what I go through, all these things here have already happened. They've already happened. It's past tense. It's already done. Like when it says, I have been crucified with Christ. When did that happen? I wasn't with Jesus dying with him, right? When I accepted Christ as my Savior, boom, I was crucified with him. Old things are passed away, all things are new. OK? Okay, we're there with him. We're united with him. Man, praise the Lord. So he's helping them be encouraged. It's future. Okay, look to the future. Verse 31. What then? Or what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since I already have all these things now, right? I'm encouraging you believers. If this has already been past tense done. If God be for us, who can be against us? If I already have in my position my glorified body, what can happen to me now? If you die, believers in Rome, this is what you have to look forward to. It's already done. If God be for us, who can be against us? Right? Now I see. Wow, now I can see how all things work together for good. I'm looking forward. Now I can see, oh man, God before us, who can be against us? Because everything's been done. It's already been fulfilled. I'm already there in my position. Verse 32, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, yes, who was risen, who is also at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. See all the things they have going for them in the future? See all the things that they have now? Okay, looking up there, looking over there, looking at what I have, looking at what I have forward to. Okay, since Christ is at the right hand of God, he intercedes for us while we're here on the earth. If that's true, here's what he's going to say. In verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Who? He's done a good job of placing their hearts forward. Future. What's already been done. What they have to look forward to. And the first thing he says when it comes to who shall separate us from the love of Christ, shall tribulation. Shall what you're going through do that? Now, can you imagine running for your life and thinking, does God love me? Now, remember, for a Jewish believer, this might be something hard to grasp because they were taught for years and years and years under, you know, the nation of Israel that if you cried out to God when you were being hunted, God would deliver you. So now they're thinking, I'm crying out to God, I'm not being delivered, so does he love me? And Paul's reassuring them, shall tribulation. He's getting their heart on the spiritual things. On things that have been done for them spiritually. Looking forward, looking ahead. These things have already been done. Pretty cool, isn't it? Where he has their mindset when it's chaotic with where they're at here on earth. Shall tribulation? What else does he say? Or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword. As it is written, for your sake, you are killed all the day long. You are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, absolutely yes, he will leave you. Doesn't love you. What does he say in 37? No. Look at this next strong statement. In all things, previously said, in all things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Now he's going to state some facts that are going to come together with what happened to me positionally from Romans 8, 28 through 31. Ready? I am persuaded that neither death nor life, neither angels, principalities, powers, things present, nor things to come, neither height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Why? Past tense. Ready? Foreknew, predestined, conformed to his image, firstborn among many, called, justified, and glorified. That's how I know. It's already been done. It's already been done. What you're waiting for, Corinthians to go over this, is for this to die. We're waiting for this to go away so that that can be the reality. It is positionally, it's already done, it's already happened. This is another big thing on why you can't lose your salvation. It's already happened, it's already done. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I'm already sealed. I'm already waiting for my adoption, my glorified body. This is how it's going to help the believers at Rome go, okay, now I can go through what I'm going through, knowing that trials, tribulations, persecutions, that's not going to separate from God's love. God's love is different than the love he had for the nation of Israel. Why? Because now you're his child. A little different now. Now Christ is in you. And the Father had perfect love towards his Son. And his Son is in you, and he has perfect love towards you. You are better than a chosen nation. You are a child. Someone say amen. It's pretty exciting. You're a child. You're a child waiting for the adoption. Not a nation of Israel waiting for a Messiah. That came and gone. You have something better now. You have Jesus. Here's what's waiting for you in heaven. Get your heart over there. So that when you're going through these things, gotcha. I know that this is not of God, but it can be used for God's good. Why? All it's already been done for me. It's already happened. I can understand now that none of this is going to separate me from God's love. Now, we've heard this a lot, maybe. Maybe this truth has been hammered in us and you're going, yeah, Jesse, man, I get that. I got that. Let's just take a sidetrack and go, can you imagine what it's doing for the believers at Rome? Can you imagine how this might help them and encourage them for being persecuted, going through a tough time, running for their lives? How he's telling them, listen, yeah, you might die, but don't worry, because look what you had to look forward to. Look what's already been done. Look what's coming your way. That's going to help relieve me clinging onto this life or looking for a God to deliver me from my problems and go, you know what? Bring it on. Matter of fact, I'll come to you. I'll come to you. Take me out of here. Well, don't do that. But it's getting their heart somewhere else to look forward to. He's getting them from God's perspective looking back. He's getting them up here. Come up here with where God's at. Isn't it easy for us? And I can go through this myself, even now sometimes. I'm caught up on what's happening to me. I'm caught up. I'm forgetting Romans 8:28. I'm forgetting my home in heaven. I'm forgetting about my glorified body that I already positionally have. I'm forgetting these things. I'm forgetting that it's something to do with God's love. I'm forgetting these things. And I have to be reminded myself, this circumstance is supposed to be used for God's good. And you build out over here and you're not living a life that's showing how it can be used for God's good. You're showing a bad God right now. Because you're blaming him, you're complaining, you're whining, you're talking bad about your situation. And God's saying, no, I want you over here. Get your head over here. Look over here. You have all these things that are already been given to you spiritually. It's from God's perspective looking back to you, and he's trying to get you to look forward to that. Oh, gotcha. Okay, thank you, Lord. Now my anxiety is gone. Now my fear is gone. Now my worry is gone. At the end of the day, you might not have offered this, but it can be used for your good, even if it kills me at the end. I have to live a life as if heaven's my home, for real. I have to live my life, but that's actually true. And if that's true, I'm not going to try and to cling to everything here and now. It's tough, isn't it? To find that balance. I'm not judging anybody. I want to help all of us, myself included. I'm sitting with you, being preached at. Trust me. You think it's easy for us to let people go? I don't want Dennis to go. I don't want anybody else to go. Michael, that's just this year. I don't want, I won't say names, but other people to go that we help find churches. I helped people find churches in Roseburg so their family could come. I could have said, well, you know what? You just bring them here. I tried that. They said, no, they won't come here. It's too long of a drive. But if you find a good church in Roseburg, they'll come. What am I supposed to do? Say no?
They just don't know how good you are.
There you go. I want to come here. I want to build my kingdom. God's saying, whoa. No. I have something else better for them. You have to let them go. You played your part. You did what I asked. I got in my way. Okay, Lord. You get it. Absolutely. That's my thing. It's holding people. No, you can't go. No, you can't leave. No, you gotta stay. No, you gotta. And God said, no, it doesn't work that way. You ever try to argue with God? It's fun in the moment, but it never really works out great in your end, right? Yeah. I know that it can work for my good. So next time something happens to you, boom. Either Satan uses someone to hurt you, or unexpected last circumstance comes to hurt you, stop and just thank God. Say, okay, Lord, thank you. Because now you have put me in a position, or Wyatt has put me in a position, Satan put me in a position. Either way, might have been offered by God, but I am now in a position, God, to show how good you are.
Amen.
I can't manufacture those. I can't make those up. I can't conjure those up. So if this is happening to me, to take advantage of an opportunity to show how good you are, to work it for my good, to be more like your son, then bring it on. At the end of the day, it's my reasonable service of worship, Romans 12:1. The least I can do is at least show how wonderful and great you are. The least I can do is to take something bad that's happened to me and not blame you and say, okay, Lord, I'm going to plant my feet solid and show you this is how good you are and how it's going to work for my good. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for being good to us today. Lord, we're so grateful for Romans chapter 8. And seeing things from the future and your perspective. How we have these great things already done in our lives. That would bring encouragement to those at Rome, Lord, those believers who are going through those trials and tribulations. To look forward to something better. Though they were going through a hard time. Father, I ask that all of our hearts, including myself, that when trials, tribulations, persecutions, distresses come, that we would stop and say, okay, this might not be from you, Lord, but I want to show how it can work for my good, how it can display the fruit of the Spirit, how it can be used to show Christ's forgiveness, how it can be used to just show that, you know, that we have comfort no matter what comes our way. Then we can boldly testify on your behalf that your love will not leave us because of certain life circumstances that come our way. Lord, when those opportunities come, allow us to just plant our feet strong to praise you, not just to show others, but to show you, Lord, that this is going to work for our good. Bless the rest of our day and this week. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
All